like the most fun of it I've ever had. Yeah, like just like rock climbing in Zion with my friends who were also at Gateway. I like look back at that and I really just like think like that was like pure fun, and the purest fun feels the healthiest.
Hey folks, welcome to the Adventure Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Mason. And just as a quick warning, this show does talk about substance abuse and drug addiction. So if you find that upsetting or something you don't want to listen to, then I totally understand. But I think Tom's story is very inspiring. He's so young and was able to share this. This is a Throwback Thursday episode. It's from a few years ago when Kurt was hosting. But, you know, whether you're battling an addiction like this or not, the outdoors is going to help. You know, whether it's just getting over a hard day or a hard week at work or just going through something, it doesn't matter the stress I've ever been going through or whatever was the cause of that stress or cause of being upset. The outdoors and being out in nature has always helped. And experiencing it through an adventure sport is even better. You get the sweat going, you get your body moving, the heart pumping, some blood. It's nothing's better than that for you, in my opinion. So whether you're battling something as big as a drug addiction or something as small as just a funky mood for a while, the prescription's often the same. Get out there and have some fun. So no ads today. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. And thanks for listening.
I have a special show for you today.
Thomas Anderson, he's in California, and he has a remarkable story, a story of how the wilderness healed him. He is 17 years old, still in high school, looking forward to graduating next year. And a couple of years ago, his parents sent him to a program called Elements to help with substance abuse, and it worked. Going out into the wilderness made a huge difference, and Tom is willing to share his remarkable story with us. So, Tom, thank you so much for coming on the Adventure Sports Podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, man, it takes guts to, to be a 17-year-old who's willing to tell a story. That takes a lot of guts. And I know your heart that you want to share your story because you know how much it can help others. And so, just straight out of the chute, I want to say thank you on behalf of me and thank you on behalf of the listeners, and especially on behalf of the people that are going to hear this and be encouraged and hopefully get the help that they need. So thanks, man.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Well, man, we've got to hear your story. So you're 15 years old, your parents realized that something needed to be done, and they sent you to a program called Elements. So fill us in a little bit. What was going on in your life?
So pretty much, I was 15 years old, and I had a pretty bad substance abuse issue. I definitely was going down the wrong path, really came off the rails, you know, had lost hope. I kind of had given up on school. I was being very disrespectful and very defiant with my parents and with everybody kind of like who's trying to help me. They put me through a few smaller, less time consuming programs, and nothing really worked. And so, yeah, they were really at a loss, and they found out about Elements, and they made the decision that it would be the best option to get help, and it ended up being the best option.
So how long had you been involved in substance abuse, just roughly?
I had just started sophomore year, when I went to Elements, and I had started, doing drugs and kind of becoming more defiant and becoming more one of the, troublemakers when I was, seventh grade. So that's kind of really where, I really started my downward spiral.
Mm. So you were a good 3 years into this anyway. So this was no small thing.
Yeah, no. Yeah. This is it definitely was something that, had been going on for many years, and my parents, just didn't know what to do.
Wow. Again, thank you for your candor and for sharing with us your story. What kind of flipped the switch for you. So you went to this Elements program. Why don't you tell us, first of all, what that is?
Sweet. Yeah. So a wilderness therapy program is a program that takes troubled youth with, you know, substance abuse, depression, anxiety, other addictions, eating disorders, the list goes on. But it really takes, youth who are, struggling in life and puts them out into the wilderness and kind of like shows them the therapeutic aspect of being out in nature. And also it also challenges them. As I like to think of it, it really breaks you down. They definitely use the kind of elements of, no pun intended, but like they definitely use the elements of nature to kind of challenge you and break you down and then build you back up to become the best person that you are to make healthier choices.
Wow. So it sounds like the program is carefully thought out and orchestrated. But how much of this would you attribute to just getting into nature? How big of a part was that?
That's a great question, because I think it really was a good experience because it took me out of my element at home. It took me away from all that distraction that was at home. We were many, many miles from any civilization. We were really out there, and we were nomadic. We was out in the San Rafael swell. And so pretty much every day we broke down camp and packed our stuff up and hiked around. And so, I got to see like a lot of cool things and, have a really good like experience getting in touch with nature. It was definitely well over 50% of being out there. And just like, I didn't go into like a building for 14 weeks. I didn't like listen to any music. It felt very pure. It was definitely a very pure time in my life where I could just really just like redesign how I wanted to live my life and, more importantly, redesign myself.
Wow. 14 weeks is a long time, man.
Yeah.
It might take a long time to kind of reboot,
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
And I just want to tell the listeners, I kind of know the end of the story, and we want to get the details from you about how all this transpired. But the end of the story is that you've been clean for a long time now, and you're looking forward to graduating from high school and going to college, where you say you want to study in psychology and in outdoor recreation so that you can become one of these wilderness therapists. So you're one of the success stories, man. Congratulations.
Thank you. I definitely... whenever I tell people my story, like I definitely refer to myself as like a success story. Cause I think I really am one of the products that wilderness therapy should really, is designed to do.
Mm. Well, if you don't mind, I'd like to ask you questions about what you personally went through as you went through this wilderness therapy. Cause I think that might help people to understand why it works and what its potential is.
Yeah.
What did you think when you first got there? Your folks told you you're going, dude. And then, you show up. Now you went to Utah to do this. So you're even away from home as well.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of states removed. So what did it feel like when you first got there?
My parents, it was a very last minute decision for them to send me there. And they had a suspicion that I wasn't going to go willingly. So they hired a transport service where they took two big burly men to kind of, in quotation marks, escort me there.
Wow.
And so that was a pretty weird experience. And they took my shoes and they handcuffed me and they were like, yeah, we can use physical force if you try anything funny. So that was a weird experience. And then we got to the Salt Lake Airport and they drove me 4 hours, around 4 hours into Huntington, Utah, where Elements office is. And so they kind of just dropped me off and I was greeted by, I didn't know at the time, but what ended up being one of the people to drive me out to the field. And he's an older man and he worked with Elements and they told me to take off my clothes and they gave me these plain red t-shirt and some cargo shorts or that can zip into pants. And they gave me a big backpack and it was packed with a sleeping bag and some food and three Nalgene water bottles. And then they drove me 2 hours just into the wilderness and they dropped me off. And I was looking around And I just like saw these tarp shelters like everywhere. Like there were kind of like tents made out of just like tarps.
Right.
And they gave me a tarp. And yeah, I was greeted by a wilderness staff. And like the first thing I remember was just like how smelly he was and like how like how much he just like reeked. And you know, and yeah, again, like I like looked around and I just like thought like, oh, like what have I gotten into? So yeah, so like my first 3 days, so I should start by saying in a wilderness therapy group, there's about 5 groups and elements, but each group is like it fluctuated between 3 and 9 people. So I got there and I saw the group, but I actually wasn't allowed to talk to the group because they had phases there, like kind of different levels, and you do certain therapeutic work to get off each phase and move to the next phase. And that first phase, you can't talk to anybody. It's called acclimation. And so I was told by the staff that like I wasn't able to talk to anybody, and that I had to like stay by myself and stay secluded from the group and do the assignments that I was given. And it's called the student book. So like already, like I was like angry because like I'm a pretty social person and I wasn't able to talk to these kids who were my age that I was like looking at. And I was like kind of having like a panic attack. And like that first night was like very weird because I was in a sleeping bag on the ground and like under a tarp, and it was like super cold. And like, and also another thing is like all over, there was just like cow poop everywhere. Cause like they have like wild cows out there, and I was sleeping on cow poop and I was dirty. And definitely those first few days were really tough for me.
Wow. I can't imagine. I have to go back to the 2 big burly guys who grabbed you and said, "We're going somewhere." What did you think? Because that would have been enough to put most people into a quasi panic right there.
My parents had told me that like they were coming. Yeah, I was still just like, okay, like I'm leaving my parents with 2 people I've never met before. And yeah, and they told me I was going to go to Utah, like out of state, like on an airplane with these people who I don't know. It was like, yeah, it was definitely a pretty, you know, scary experience. But
wow.
I think like in retrospect, I'm glad that I had those 2 guys there, because I probably, like in the mind that I was back then, not willingly had gone.
Yeah. I used to work with inner city kids a fair amount, and I would take them into the wilderness. And there's a dynamic that I noticed that was really pronounced. And that was that a lot of kids that are struggling a little bit, they develop coping mechanisms. And part of that is distracting themselves, constant distraction. And so that might be, you know, the way that they carry on with their friends. It might be music that they, and I love music and I love friends, but they would use the music to make sure they didn't have to deal with any of their baggage. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
It might be television, it might be drugs, but they use a lot of different things to stay distracted. And man, growing up is tough. It's hard for everybody. I don't care who you are. Everybody has to go through a lot. And when you get these kids completely removed from all those distractions, away from what they're used to, their comfort zone, so to speak, and you put them into an environment that's brand new and different, then suddenly they start unpacking that stuff on the inside. And I've seen it over and over and over again. I get it. You got to pluck someone out of their routine and out of their distraction sometimes so that they can begin to deal with the realities that they need to deal with. Was that your experience?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Like I definitely felt as if I was taken away from all the distractions. Everything that every negative coping skill that I had was just like stripped away from me. But at the same time, I was put in this place where I was surrounded by so many positive coping skills. Like, you know, like once I was able to interact with the group, you know, I was able to, you know, talk with kids who were from different places, you know, like I hadn't really been exposed to people who were from outside of California before. We used to hacky sack a lot, which is, I still hacky sack too, like to this day. Like the hiking was actually super cool because I got to just see, you know, things that we'd never get to see being a kid from California. So yeah, like I definitely felt as if, yeah, all those negative coping skills were just like, I didn't have them there. So I had to develop new ones.
Well, did you resist the program at first? Were you wanting to leave and wondering how long you're going to be stuck there and all that?
To be honest, I was pretty scared from the other kids in the program. I had heard of, these kids who, you know, go into these programs after wilderness, and like they'd be there for like 2 years and stuff like that. I definitely missed the program, but this is like a little funny story. Like I tried sending my parents, like, cause like you had to write your parents a letter every week. And I tried just sending these like little messages in the letters to my parents, kind of SOS kind of like messages.
In code, come save me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like in one letter, I darken like certain letters to like spell out like, yeah, like save me or bring me home or. Like,
that's awesome.
Yeah. So yeah, like I definitely like try to do it, but later on when I brought it up with my parents, like they had like no idea. And then like I used to have a pet snake that died way like 6 years ago. And I remember like putting at the bottom, like, oh, like please feed the snake. Okay, it was like kind of like a save me kind of message. Like I was like hoping that like my parents would be like, oh, like something's wrong. But like my parents were just like super confused. Like so yeah, I don't know. It's kind of like a funny story. I definitely wanted to leave. I was kind of hoping that like my parents would just get sick of me of like not being at home and then pull me from the program. But yeah, that obviously didn't happen, which I'm glad it didn't, because I definitely learned a lot of things. And I'm glad that, you know, like I didn't leave the program early. So I definitely work with the program the whole way. But I think as the weeks went on, it got more and more genuine.
Yeah, I can see that. I was going to say, how long did it take before you were kind of with the program? You realized, no, something good's going on here.
It was definitely like 6 weeks to, yeah, like it was that 6 week probably for me was the changing week of where I was. I'm going to really change, like make changes in my life.
Describe what the days were like. You're in the wilderness. You don't even have a tent. You're using a tarp, which I prefer a tarp myself. So I get that.
Yeah.
But you hiked around and did activities and worked through a student book of some sort. But what were these days like?
I guess like a day in the life would be, and they wake you up by like a general like yell, like the group that I was in was called group two. So they would yell like, good morning, group two. And then say they would announce if we were going to go hike today, or if today was going to be what we would call the rest day, where we just kind of chill out at camp. So if it was a hike day, we would have to pack up our tarp shelters, get our shoes on and pack our bags. And that was timed actually. And if we didn't make the time, we would have to eat breakfast in silence. So like after that, we would go into the main camp because we slept separate from our regular camp because of issues with, you know, animals and stuff like that, because there's normally food at the main camp.
Right.
And then want, you know, animals coming up to us when we were sleeping. So we go back into the main camp, and we had every single breakfast I ever had there was grains and oats mixed with powdered milk. I never want to eat like oatmeal again, because it's just like I ate for 97 days. I had oatmeal. So yeah, so it was the same breakfast every single day. So once we had breakfast, we would clean our cups with dirt, which actually cleans like silverware super well, actually, if you're ever camping. And then we'd have to break down camp. And the whole thing that Elements kind of like bases themselves around is low impact camping. You know, kind of like, it's kind of like the leave no trace that like the Boy Scouts have. But like they were like really, really, really thorough with it. Like, you know, it's like, yeah, it was like leave no trace to the extreme. So like if we had a fire the night before, we would have to like, it was called crushing and sifting, where we would take the ashes and we would crush them like with a rock until it gets super thin. And then we would take a bucket with holes at the bottom and sift. And we would have to walk around and we would sift it. And it was so tedious. And like the whole purpose of that was the way that like they kind of judged us on whether we left camp, you know, in an exceptional way was, you know, like if somebody went there, they would never know that humans had been there before. It's kind of like how it's like kind of like what they were basing their judgment off.
Mm. Do you think that there was an ulterior motive too? Taking care of nature is a big deal, obviously, but could it be that they were trying to teach you guys that there were things worth taking care of?
Yeah. Actually, I was actually thinking about that today. Because I think that actually really helped me with like my life skills. Kind of like now, like whenever I leave a classroom or whenever I leave a room, I always make sure that like, okay, like do I have everything? Am I leaving this place better than I left it before? It's like the mindset that I'm in now, because I did it for so long where I was like, okay, I need to leave this place better than I came to it. And it definitely was a big metaphor for just like cleaning up after yourself wherever you go.
Mm. So then you would eventually get to do a hike. How far would you hike on the hike days?
On average, it was it would take pretty much like the whole day. We would have these big backpacks on us, and we'd be carrying our sleeping bags, our tarps, our food, group food, and also pots and pans that we used to cook in. And we would hike, I want to say like 6 to 13 miles every day. Like, it was a very, like, it ranged. It definitely ranged, but I think it definitely was around that.
Man, that'll get you in shape.
Yeah. I definitely saw a lot of kids lose a lot of weight there.
Wow. I've heard a lot of people who are distance hikers talk about hiking as kind of a meditative or therapeutic experience, because you're just walking and looking and walking and walking and looking, and there's not a lot to do besides sort out your thoughts. Did you find that to be true in your case?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, like, because, you know, like, when we were hiking, like, a lot of talking happened in between, you know, like, the staff and each kid. And but yeah, sometimes we would just do, like, yeah, mindful hiking where we would just be silent and just, like, observe. Yeah, I definitely think that it was really, you know, like, yeah, really therapeutic for me. Just, again, I just got to see things, you know, that were, like, almost out of, like, a Western movie. It was so cool. Yeah.
Mm. You said it was probably around 6 weeks into the program when you realized, no, this is doing something good for me and I'm on board with it. But then you were there for another 8 weeks after that. So how did you progress?
Yeah, I guess a big thing that I worked on there was leadership and just like assertiveness with my peers. Because, you know, like, in addition to everything, they have you do these exercises within the group with each other that are definitely life skills at a microcosm. It's like we would have like a leader for the day. And that person's job was to, you know, like, assertively make sure that everything was going to get done, that we packed up camp in a, you know, timely manner, that you'd go around and check for trash and make sure that people, like, cleaned up after themselves. So I think definitely, like, that was, like, the biggest thing that I progressed in. But the list goes on. I mean, I definitely just kind of, like, learned, you know, self-love, self-care, eating well, sleeping well. And then, yeah, just like kind of looking at my life in a positive light. Those are all skills that I learned there, and it definitely showed me a healthier style of life.
You know, it's about breaking old habits, but it's also about replacing them with new ones, right? The healthy ones. And that's what you're describing.
Yeah, exactly. And then like to kind of like expand on that, if we were good as a group, like every 2-ish weeks, there would be a guy. He would come out and we would do rock climbing, you know, only if good as a group. And I always like looked forward to rock climbing. Rock climbing actually was something that I pursued after that. I use like rock climbing and mountain biking and all those different types of things as a positive outlet to, you know, frustrations that I have in my life. You know, like, yeah, again, like I think that I use those kind of sports to cope with life in a positive way. And I really think that mindful cognitive pattern of using those as a positive coping skill started at Elements.
Mm. Wow.
Let's take a quick message break and hear from the folks that helped make this show possible. That is plenty of that for now. Let's get back into the episode.
So what do you think, this may be an interesting question for you, because you're just going to have to kind of guess, but what do you think your parents were going through during this time period while you're away?
Yeah, so I mean, like, I've talked with them, like, a lot about that, and yeah, like, they'd always sit down at dinner with my sister. I have a younger sister. They'd always sit down, and they'd always be wondering, like, what is Thomas doing right now? Like, what, or they call me Thomas to them. I'm known as Thomas. To my friends, I'm known as Tom. Like, they would sit down at dinner and kind of be like, oh, like, I wonder what Thomas is doing now. You know, like, I know that they were always constantly thinking about me, and they really missed me. But yeah, I think it definitely was really hard for them to have me not at home. You know, I think they definitely missed me, you know, like only having letters to your son, I think is really tough. And, you know, I missed a few family kind of get togethers. You know, I was in Wilderness for Thanksgiving. It definitely was definitely hard on my parents, but I think it was definitely worth it, because as a family, we are so much more happier than we were 2 years ago.
So it was not just healing for you, but healing for the entire family.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because like my parents also had to do assignments. But yeah, I think something that people kind of guess wrong about these programs is that, you know, you just send your kid off and they come back perfect. But it actually isn't like that, because I think in order to keep your son or daughter healthy, you need to be doing the equal amount of work that they're doing. And like, yeah, so I mean, like, they weren't physically right alongside me doing the work, but they were at the same time that I was working on myself, they were working on their on their self, they were working on their marriage, they were working on how they could improve home life. And so yeah, like, it was definitely an equal amount of effort on the whole family.
Wow. You know, it would take a lot of commitment. You know, I have to say it. Your parents loved you a lot, man.
Yeah. Yeah. That's something I wish I had seen when I was, you know, going through all of that, because I think, yeah, what Elements did for me was really like have me like acknowledge that, like, and even just like acknowledge the fact that, like, my parents, like, I think, like, when a lot of kids get there, it's like, oh, like, my parents sent me away from home because they don't want me at home. It's like, no, like, your parents sent you away. You know, they didn't necessarily send you away. Like, they gave you a gift. And I think, like, for a kid in wilderness, their parents sending them there isn't a gift. It's like they'll view it as like a power move or something like that. But with everybody who I've caught up with from my wilderness group, in retrospect, they all think it's a gift. And like, I really think that my parents loved me. So they just like didn't have the resources at home to support me. And I think that they did the right thing by sending me to Elements.
That's quite the story, man. So how'd you graduate from Elements? And how did they wrap it up and say, okay, you're there. Now what?
So I think that I don't want to, like, you know, I guess like kind of be bragging, but I think that I actually moved through the program quite quickly. I think I made a lot of progress a lot quickly than my peers there, because I think that from the start I was pretty much willing. You know, like I had some episodes of I just didn't want to do it, but like, I think, you know, looking, you know, in the grand scheme of things, I definitely worked out my whole process there. My parents came out for a visit, and I was, you get one parent visit throughout your stay, and your parents get to like, kind of like see how you live, and you make their food, and you make their fire as well. Cause that's also like, another thing that I learned out there was bow drilling, which is like making fire using like sticks and stones, like literally. And it's like the sticks and stones you find and you carve by yourself, and in order to make a good bow drill set to make a fire. And they sleep with you on the ground and you make a tarp with them. So my parent visit was it was definitely very, very strong kind of like bond with my parents, because I hadn't seen them in 6-7 weeks. But yeah, like, back to your question, I remember I was talking about how excited I was to be at home, and my parents, with my therapist there, had told me that I wasn't going to go home after Elements, that I was most likely going to go to a residential treatment center afterwards, which is like an aftercare program, which is a place for kids to go after a program like Elements, you know, if they need to continue the therapy. And then that was definitely my case. I think that I definitely worked through a lot of things, but I also needed a longer term sort of care to for it to really stick with me. So actually for around like 4 weeks, I was just at Elements kind of waiting for my parents to choose a residential place for me to be. And also I was waiting for a spot to open up. Knowing that I wasn't going to go home was really hard, because, you know, I'd already been away from home for, you know, quite some time. I was just thinking like that was like my main goal then, was just to get home. So I was really upset, but my parents sent me a letter saying that I was going to a place called Gateway. That's in Draper, Utah. And that was a residential treatment center that it felt like it was an extension of Elements, because it offered an outdoor program where, you know, during the weekends, they would take the kids skiing, snowboarding, rock climbing, hiking, canyoneering, kind of all that stuff. I mean, you know, and more, you know, like, and they would kind of like all that outdoor adventure stuff. So once I got the pamphlet for Gateway, I wasn't as upset, but I definitely, you know, but it definitely felt like a loss on my part, because I wasn't going home. So I waited in Wilderness for 3-4 weeks for a slot to open up. And then in December, on December 21st, I think it was, it was right before Christmas, I left Elements and My parents told me through a letter, and then I had a session with my therapist, and he told me, like, yeah, I think you're ready to leave, and I think you're ready to move on. And he said, yeah, like, I know you're upset about not going home, but I really hope that you take what you learned at Gateway and really continue your growth, because you made a lot of growth here. So, yeah, so then the next day, they had one of the transport people come out in a truck, and they drove me to the base. Then I looked at myself in the mirror, and it was my first time looking at myself in the mirror, like, my whole time there.
Wow.
And it was the weirdest experience. Like, I can't describe it. Like, looking at yourself in the mirror after not looking at yourself at all for 3 months is the weirdest experience. My hair had gotten probably, like, 4 inches longer, like it felt like that, and my, you know, my hair was down into my nipples, and like kind of like my chest area, and my facial hair was like, you know, it was like, you know, pubescent boy facial hair, but it was a lot. It was the most facial hair I had ever had, and like I just remember, like, looking at myself and just like thinking, like, wow, like I have really matured, and I felt that way too. And then I put on my like regular clothes too. I put on my own clothes, which is, I definitely felt like that was definitely a more special experience for me. Like, kind of like, cause I've been in these clothes that like the program had given me, and it just kind of like that comfortability of being in your own clothes is a great experience as well. And then, yeah, then my parents were there, and they were there to drive me to Gateway. And, you know, I drove with my family and just talked with them about my experience. And my sister was there, and it was super nice to see my sister, because I hadn't seen her, because she didn't come out for the family visit. It was a lot of emotions, because I was only with my parents for three-ish hours before they dropped me off at Gateway. But you know, I was happy that I was leaving Elements and moving on. But at the same time, I was super sad because I wasn't going home. And I ended up being at Gateway for 13 months before I went home. So yeah, like that's kind of how everything kind of like wrapped up at Elements.
Wow. So 13 months at Gateway. And so yeah. Now you're not living in wilderness anymore, but you are doing adventure sports and wilderness sports through Gateway.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like now, like a lot of kids that I've been in touch with, like they, you know, they kind of stopped the adventure sports kind of like that. They were that, like that we were doing at Gateway and at Elements and stuff. For me, like it really, really, really struck kind of like a place of, I guess, like passion for me. And like, yeah, like, you know, like I love mountain biking and I love rock climbing. And I do one of those things pretty much every day after school. And I find it is a really good way for me to kind of just let out some negative energy and put it into something positive. But also, I've made a lot more healthier connections through the rock climbing and the biking. You know, like I find that the most positive connections that I have in friendships are with the people who I can go rock climbing with, or who I can go mountain biking with.
That has to be one of the hardest parts of this, because the reality is you can't go back to the same people that drug you down the first time, you know?
Totally. Yeah. Like I've had to totally restart. I started at a new school, like totally new friend group. And I actually, the honest truth is I really don't hang out with kids my age, cause I find it's just too immature. Cause I find that, I get very frustrated when I hang out with kids my age now, cause I've gained all these adult skills, right, such an early part of my life. I feel that I'm the only adult there when I'm hanging out with my friends who are 17, 18, even people who are a little bit older than me. I feel so frustrated, cause it's like, I do really feel like I'm much more emotionally and mentally mature than them. I mean, like they may be older than me, but I think I make healthier decisions. And
well, dude, you've been through it.
I try to surround myself with like more mature people who are a little bit in their 20s and stuff like that, because I just find it's just like less games and drama, you know. It's just definitely, you know, and I can, it's definitely healthier too, I find.
Well, that's wise. You know, when you go through a life changing experience like you did, then you find that, you know, you have to find your new normal, your new group, you know, and that's what you're describing. And I think that's appropriate, totally appropriate. But hate to tell you this, Tom, you'll still find immature kids in their 40s and 50s too.
Yeah.
It's just real life.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, totally. So that's the way it is sometimes. Well, I love your story, man. I am really impressed with all the hard work that you did to come out to such a good experience now. And now you've got a new life and a new beginning and a lot of hope for the future. What does it feel like now? Can kind of compare how life was before and how it is now.
Yeah, like it's such a crazy, like kind of like comparison, you know, and it's something that kind of, it shocks me to kind of look back at the things that I was doing. Cause I don't see it as a necessarily like a change in who I am. I think it is a coming back to who I am. Cause I definitely was somebody else before I went to Wilderness. I definitely was somebody who, you know, wasn't my authentic self. And now I feel like I am my like authentic self times like 100. Also plus those skills that I learned. The comparison is really, it's a lot to look at, you know. It's like it's a lot to kind of like take in for me. I don't even recognize myself who I was like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
It really is just like an amazing comparison. But I really think that in a weird way, I'm glad that I did all those negative things, because like if I didn't end up doing that, I wouldn't have gone to Wilderness. I wouldn't have, yeah, like gone to Gateway and learned all those skills. So, I mean, I wouldn't really change anything about it though. You know, if I look at like the end product of what I've been through, it's so much better than it, like even if I hadn't struggled, because I feel like I kind of came out more mature than I would have if I hadn't done any of that negative stuff.
You know, sometimes that's what it takes. And each person on the planet has their own life story. Some people had a dramatic turnaround like you did, you know, a big life-changing experience. For some people, it might be a little bit more incremental, but everybody has to continue to grow and to live. You know, one of the definitions of what is life versus something that's non-living is metabolism. And that means that you're actually using energy and growing. And you know what I mean? So if you're not growing, you have to ask, am I really living? So
yeah,
what you went through, I can see how that would just kind of give you the complete reboot, but not just a reboot, but a fresh foundation to build on. Here's a question. You know, in this program, you've got the program itself, which is carefully orchestrated to help you, right? You have the counselors. They're there doing their jobs to keep you safe and to teach you skills and all that sort of thing. You have the wilderness itself, just nature. And then you also have what I would call the wilderness skills. You know, people might call it bushcraft or something like that. All of those things work together. Do you feel like one of those things was more pronounced as far as making a difference?
I think this is a little bit more specific, but there were a few of the staff who were there that had actually been to Wilderness, and they really understood like what it was like to be a kid in wilderness therapy. And I think those staff were the people who really helped me, because they understood. They fully could grasp how it felt, and they could accommodate us based on their knowledge. I think they definitely impacted me the most, because they kind of came out in a very healthy way and they did good things with their lives. And it's one of the things that inspires me to, you know, once I'm old enough and once I have the education, to go back and work in wilderness therapy, because I think that, again, I have the perspective of somebody who's been through that.
Right.
And I think that perspective can really make a difference in somebody who is in wilderness therapy's life.
Mm. Well, I know the reason, Tom, that you wanted to come on the show and share this was because it made such a huge impact for you. And now you're looking at dedicating a chunk of your life to this. You really believe in it. What would you say to other kids who are struggling with substance abuse? What would you say to their families about what steps should be taken next?
Yeah, I think something that I would like to say is just like for the parents, like if you have the resources to put your child in a program like that, or if you have the resources to put your child in a similar situation, I definitely would. And it's really hard. Like I can tell from my parents' kind of like explanation of it, like it's really hard to send your child like away from you. But I think it's hard now, easy later. versus if you continue kind of like going down that path at a young age, it's going to seem like it's easy. It's going to backfire at some point in your life. And I definitely, I think just address the situation early and really like work with whoever has the substance abuse issue or any issue like that in general. If you, you just approach the situation where you're trying to nip it in the bud before anything kind of like major happens, and also just like have compassion, because there is definitely a reason why somebody uses drugs. There's definitely a reason why somebody, you know, uses negative coping skills. And that's because like they're really hurting inside, and it really is like a subconscious message for help. In retrospect, that definitely was all the negative things that I was doing was just like a big call for help, a big, you know, like subconscious, like I need help, to my parents, to my friends, to teachers, to who, you know, to everybody in my life. Yeah, I think just like acknowledging that kind of like, yeah. And like, if you are going through, you know, a substance abuse problem yourself, just acknowledging that you are hurting and like you deserve to have the resources to help yourself and to help others.
Beautiful. Very beautiful. You know, I've interviewed a lot of people on this show now. I don't know if you know this, Tom, but we have over 400 episodes, and don't think I've ever done a full interview with someone your age. I don't feel like I'm talking to a 17-year-old. I feel like I'm talking to a 30-something-year-old.
Thank you.
But the reason I say that is because you grabbed the horns of life and you bulldogged it, man. You wrestled that and you did that tough work that you're talking about. You beat those inner demons and you came out the other side. And now you've got a message and a purpose. And there aren't many 17-year-olds that can say that. So,
yeah, it does.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Any last thoughts before we call it an episode?
I just want to thank Elements and thank my parents and thank Neil, my therapist. And yeah, and thank, you know, everybody who helped me through this and all of my supports, and Cooper, my other therapist at Gateway. And yeah, and just like some of the other kids that, you know, really took a positive turn like me on their experience and at Wilderness. You know, I don't feel comfortable saying their names, but yeah, like I just want to thank everybody who really, you know, yeah, he really just like supported me through everything. And yeah, and thank you, Kurt, for having me on, because I was thinking for a little bit whether I should reach out to you guys, and now I feel very, very strongly I'm glad that I did it, because for a long time, like ever since I left Gateway and went home, I've really wanted to just like tell so many people. But I think like just like finding the right place and the right time to do it is very important, just so you don't let out too much. And, you know, cause I think it can be, you know, pretty heavy for some people. So thank you for having me. Cause I think this is the perfect way to kind of get it started. Cause I definitely, you know, want to write a book. I definitely, you know, kind of want to do more talks and yeah, again, eventually become a wilderness therapist. Cause yeah, like you said, I have a purpose to really change kids' lives. Like my life was changed.
Right on. Hey, listeners out there, if you would like for Tom to speak at some event where you are, I'm going to say this: contact us, and we'll let Tom know, and that way we can help out a little bit. Tom, there are thousands and thousands of people that just heard your story. I don't know if you know how many people listen to our show, but many thousands of people just heard your story, and some of those people need the exact help that you got. And I can almost guarantee you that most of those people know someone who needs the help that you got. So listeners, forward this podcast to the people that need to hear it. And if you are one of those people, then reach out, get that help. You know, it's worth turning your life around. We talk about adventure sports and we end every show by saying get out there and have some fun. But there's a reason for this. You know, the stuff works. You can have a healthy life. And Tom, thank you so much for coming on the Adventure Sports Podcast to share it. We just really appreciate you, man.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. And, you know, it seems almost silly to say it, but I have to. When I say get out there and have some fun this time, you know what I mean. You can escape the demons. You can have some real fun.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Like the most fun I've ever had, yeah, like just like rock climbing in Zion with my friends who were also at Gateway. I like look back at that and I really just like think like that was like pure fun, and the purest fun feels the healthiest. Again, I would like to echo that and really encourage everybody to get out there. And, you know, if you live in a city, like find like a rock climbing gym or just exercise in general just can really help. And, you know, it's easier said than done, but yeah, like just research like other options that, you know, like and really get involved in something that, you know, becomes like a ritual for you.
Right on. You know what? I could not have said it better myself.
First of all, thank you so much for listening. It means the world to us that you choose to listen to this show. If you'd like to help us further, you can leave a review on iTunes, share us with your friends, your family. It goes a long way to grow in the show. You can also support us financially through patreon.com/adventuresportspodcast. Link is in the show notes. And also, if you have an idea of who could be a good guest for the show, we're always looking for people to tell their story about the outdoors or adventure. So if you know someone, please reach out. Email us at info@adventuresportspodcast.com. And until then, get out there and have some fun.
Hurry into Menards and save big money. Stock up on water softener Salt for softer skin and cleaner clothes. Diamond Crystal is the perfect choice of salt to minimize water softener tank residue. It helps your soaps and detergents clean better while increasing the life of your appliances and plumbing. Save big on Diamond Crystal products at Menards. And don't forget to check out the flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save.